Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's an oldie, it's a goodie. It's right now, it's Florio. Oh man, been a long time since I heard that one, longer time since I sung that one, long time since we welcomed in Mike Florio right here on The Score on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. I mean, you guys hear Florio every Wednesday at 10, usually right here with Dan Bernstein, today with me, Matt Spiegel, as we say good morning in the middle of August to Mike Florio. What's up, man? How are you?
Boy, that takes me back. That takes me back. You know, I don't know what I prefer more, hearing that or hearing Dan's setup where Aaron Rodgers says, among other things, don't listen to crap written by people like me.
Well, maybe we can put them together in some kind of super
cut. Can we get Aaron Rodgers to sing the song? I don't know how much scotch and or tequila it would take, but there has to be a magic number that would get Aaron Rodgers to the point where he would do it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's not feeling very secure about things in Green Bay. Maybe he's ready for the next career. You know, it's like you got to be thinking about what you're going to do. I long, Mike Florio, for the days where we could be angry and have, you know, sports outrage, justifiable or not, about silly little things like the Packers having the audacity to draft a quarterback without telling Aaron Rodgers it was coming. That was fun when we could be upset about those things. There's much more serious things to discuss these days.
I would love to go back to the days where the debate is in what week is Mitchell Trubisky going to be benched. I mean, you know, those things, those annoyances, those topics, those subjects, hopefully one day we'll be back to those being the most important things we're discussing at any given time.
So Anthony Lynn is, by my count, the third or is it the fourth head coach to now have come forward and say that he had COVID-19 at one point here?
Yeah, third that we know of. The question is, how many others are there that have had it? And that was a point that was raised with me by a general manager earlier this week when Peter King pointed out that six teams have had no positives of any kind, players, coaches, staff. The reality is that they are giving antibody tests and they aren't announcing the results of the antibody tests. Now, the players can come out and say it if they want to, but there's a belief that plenty of the people who are testing negative for the virus are testing negative because they've already had it. And we don't know how long the antibodies last, but, you know, a guy like Anthony Lynn, if he's had it fairly recently, he's not going to test positive. He's not going to catch it again. And again, we don't know how long you're immune from getting it again. They still don't know much about this. It's amazing after 6 months how little they know about it. But that was the thing that really underscored for me the possibility that a lot of these negatives are the result of the fact that people have already had it. And if they can get it again, what if they get it again in November or December and then all of a sudden your starting quarterback's gone for a week or two? I mean, obviously the bigger issue is let's not get anybody sick. But the way this thing's operating, even if you're asymptomatic, you're not getting anywhere near the field.
So Anthony Lynn, and it's revealed last night on Hard Knocks, in the debut, I believe, of Hard Knocks, the 15th edition, and it starts with a Zoom call, and it's Anthony Lynn telling the players what's what, and Joey Bosa has the look of surprise as I read off Mike Florio's site here at ProFootballTalk.com. I guess my general question is this, Mike, and we can talk about, of course, whether they're going to play or not, but is the feeling as cavalier from NFL management as I once thought it was, when Bruce Arians kind of unwittingly said, well, yeah, of course the players are going to get sick. It's a matter of how sick they're going to get. You know, that was just like a little window into how it seemed a lot of coaches and I think a lot of owners might feel about it. Do they feel that cavalier as a group about the players and about what they'd be willing to endure to try and get their sport in?
It's funny, you think back to March 11, it was one positive test for Utah Jazz forward Rudy Gobert that shut down basketball, hockey, baseball, everything in its tracks. And now we're at a point where we just accept it, we just tolerate it. I had a coach tell me last week, look, we got to run the numbers here. We got to look at this. Full scope of NFL employment, teams, the number of people who have their fingerprints on an organization any given day, a couple of hundred per city, per team, times 32, chances are, over the course of 6 months, somebody's going to get sick, and there's a chance one or more people may die. What is the NFL going to do if that happens? And the concern was raised to me along the lines of, there was a sense among the teams that the NFL is trying to posture itself so it can say, not our fault, teams didn't handle it well enough, don't blame us, we put the protocols in place. If there was a failure, it's the team's fault. And look, that's, you know, an afterthought if you have that kind of an outcome, but you always have that element of, we want to protect ourselves, we want to cover our butts here. And I think there is a sense that it's inevitable somebody eventually is going to be not asymptomatic. We hear over and over and again, so-and-so is positive, asymptomatic, asymptomatic, asymptomatic. Well, that's not going to last forever because of the raw numbers, because of the potential for the virus to get into these facilities. And I don't know how the NFL is going to react. I don't know how the teams are going to react if that happens, but that's something we have to be paying attention to, because even though so far so good, and people I talk to behind the scenes, very confident they're going to get all the games in. If there are guys who can't play, you replace them with someone else and you just keep going, just like injuries, right? The same mindset, yeah. Next man up. And they're confident they're going to be able to do it. But at some point, it's going to yield to the real world reality that there's going to be a player, a coach, a staff member who gets sick and possibly dies. And how does the NFL deal with that? What's the right thing to do if that happens? And I'm hoping the NFL has a plan for that. If it comes to it, I hope it doesn't come to it. But a lot of times we see that it's just kind of make it up as you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's for sure. There's so many lessons from baseball, whether it's to simply not be the Miami Marlins or whether it is, you know, I feel like there's a benefit for the baseball owners having not put down specific parameters in terms of what would shut down the season. So then they can withstand what the Marlins have gone through and the number of players they've lost. They can withstand the fact that the Cardinals have played 5 games while other teams have played 15 or 17 games at this point. There is nothing specific about what would trigger a shutdown. Do you think if they have a plan and move forward in the NFL, will they leave the same ambiguities so it gives them room to adjust and say, well, we knew this was coming? Will there be nothing specific in writing that would trigger a shutdown for the NFL?
They have plans in place on how to deal with outbreaks, but I don't think they have anything that is written out that would articulate what needs to be done from the standpoint of postponing, canceling, suspending a given game. And there was talk a couple of weeks ago about the commissioner potentially having the power to determine based upon whatever factors will be relevant. And I think it's going to be critical to have a clear formula, not a sliding scale, not a make it up as you go, not a, well, it's a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday Eastern time, so we can scrap that one because there's 8 others. But you know what? The primetime game Monday night on ESPN, we better just go ahead and play that, even if one of the teams has no healthy offensive linemen. But that's the context that it's come up. Position group wiped out by COVID-19. Would you give a team a pass? Would you postpone a game to a week 18 or 19, where basically it would be makeup week for the games that get postponed? Would you tolerate going into a postseason with some teams having played 16 games, others having played 15, some playing 14, and you go on win percentage to see who gets the playoff spots? Those are all things that I think are available to the NFL, depending upon what happens. Dr. Alan Sills, who has been very available to the media for the most part, I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and he said all options are on the table. And I think they mean that. They are determined to go forward and try to get all 256 games in, but they're going to do whatever they have to do to adjust on the fly as the virus dictates what can and can't be done.
Yeah, you know, there's intellectual sense in leaving things ambiguous because you have to adjust and adapt as you move forward. But it also makes fiscal sense to leave things ambiguous because you set something in stone and you might very well steamroll past it. Like baseball, there's not a limited number of game threshold. You know, some teams are playing 60, some teams might play 50, 45. What's too few? 40? You know, like if the NFL says, well, you have to play at least 12 games, if all of a sudden nobody's playing more than 12 games, they would have to adjust. So I don't think they're going to put anything in writing in that sense. Mike, what is the number of people in a traveling party, vaguely, for an NFL team? I mean, you've got the roster of what? The roster of 53.
Practice squad of 16. So there's almost 70 right there, right?
Yep.
Coaching
right.
staff, and another 15. Uh-huh. That gets you up around 85, 90. Then you've got all the other essential personnel. I mean, I've heard numbers 150 to 170. That's, Whew. You know, they're going to try to trim it down as much as they can. But, yeah, that's the next frontier. 4 weeks from tomorrow when the Texans pack it up and go to Kansas City, right? Can they do it in a way that limits any invasion of the traveling party by the virus, and that's going to play out every week? I mean, I think that it's one thing to say we've gotten under control in the 32 facilities, whether they have a bubble approach or not, because some of these teams have a hotel where players are staying. But once you start packing it up and taking it on the road, that's when you may end up having issues, and you just have to wait and see what happens after a given game. Are people going to start testing positive, and how far is this thing going to spread before we can get it under control?
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com is with us. So Alvin Kamara of the New Orleans Saints, as I shift gears wildly, has just said that he's plant-based. So if he's vegan, if Kamara is vegan, Cam Newton is vegan too, right? I don't know what the total numbers are in the NFL, but I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm doing it myself these days. It's like, And we'll see how long I can get it going, but I'm feeling pretty good. And I just watched that Game Changers documentary a couple weeks ago where, I forget who it was, the linebacker from the Tennessee Titans a few years ago had gone plant-based, and his wife all of a sudden got just about everybody on that defense into a plant-based diet. This is what the gladiators apparently were eating in Roman times. And how big a craze is this around the NFL right now, Mike?
Well, I mean, it is a fairly big craze. I thought you were going along the lines of the Colin Kaepernick ongoing unemployment, because one of the things that kept him out of the league is the idea that he's a vegan. Remember that, when they were throwing anything they could at those who were suggesting he should get an opportunity? Well, he's a vegan. We're concerned about his diet. Yeah, there's plenty of guys who go plant-based. And, you know, as long as you get your protein, as long as you get your nutrients, it really doesn't matter how you go about doing it. And, you know, these are guys who are careful about every single thing they put into their body. Tom Brady with the avocado ice cream that we've heard about over and over again, and his very careful approach. You know, and it's not just getting maximum performance now, but it's a lifestyle that, you know, I think some of these guys think they're going to live to be 150. Although, you know, there really is a point where it's like, yeah, you know, I'd like to make it to 100, but, you know, I don't know about the quality of those last 10 years. On that happy note.
See, no,
I don't know that eating plants is going to make 90 to 100 all of a sudden like 60 to 70. I don't know that. If that's true, then I'm going to go out and start gnawing on whatever weeds I can find in my yard right now.
But don't you think that scale slides? Like, as you hit your 70s, you're like, boy, I'd like it to feel like I did in my 50s. I really would. So as long as the 90s feel like your 70s, I think you're okay.
Oh, hey, I know that a friend of mine, his mother's position is that she just wants to make it to 80 and she's done. She doesn't want to be 80, 81, 82. She just, you know, 80 and out. It's like, yeah, that sounds good until you're 79 and 364 days. Then you may have a different viewpoint on that.
Oh, God. Oh, Mike Florio, a couple more minutes real quick with Mike Florio on ProFootballTalk.com. Actually, maybe just one more. So Washington football team, do we have to capitalize all three of those words? And is that what they're going to play as if we have a season?
WFT, Washington football team, that is the name for now. And I'll tell you what, I've got two predictions. If they end up making it to the playoffs this year and crazier things have happened and there's an extra berth per conference this year, so, you know, teams are going to be alive a lot longer than they otherwise would be, scrambling for that seventh spot. If they make it to the playoffs, I think they keep the name for another year or two. And if somehow, some way, they pull the ultimate inside straight and get to the Super Bowl. And I'll say this, 1982, crazy upside down season, 9 regular season games, Washington made it to the Super Bowl and won it. 1987, crazy upside-down season. 15 regular season games, three of which were played by replacement players. Washington went to the Super Bowl and won it. If they would somehow have a special season, I don't think they ever changed that name. The uniforms are awesome. The big gold numbers on the side of the helmet, that's a great look. The burgundy and gold has always been a great color combination. I could see Washington football team, kind of that soccer influence where you don't have a nickname for the team. It's just the name of the team. If they are good, I think that name is going to last for a while and maybe for a long while.
That they're just going to lean into Washington football team.
And it's a copycat league, too. Maybe before you know it, it's going to be the Chicago football team, although I doubt that. I doubt that. Of all the teams out there that potentially would convert to just, you know, insert city name and team, the last one to go would be the Chicago Bears, because you can't have football without Chicago Bears.
Right, and I think we as a species, humanity, we're okay with our treatment of bears. You know, we're all right with that. We don't feel like we've done wrong by the Bears.
Well, and thereby I still need to get, listen, I still get the tweets and the emails, Matt, from the people who don't want to just accept the fact that the name has changed, saying, well, Vikings needs to go now, too. Cowboys needs to go. They did horrible things. Saints is offensive to non-Catholics, and Giants is offensive to large people. It's like, look, only one name was a dictionary-defined slur. You want to have an argument or discussion about Chiefs and the tomahawk chop? That's a different issue. But this was the easy one. This was the no-brainer. This was the fruit that wasn't just hanging low. It was on the ground and decomposing. It was a slur that needed to go. The rest of it, it's just kind of goofy talk. But that's where the people who didn't want the name to change are now residing, because they're mad they lost their name. They want other teams to lose their names, too.
Yeah, you know, Giants, I'd love to be a Giant, you know, so screw those people. Those are wrong.
George Morrison said it's not all it's cracked up to be. Remember him?
I do. I remember it well. Mike, thanks, man. Right, nice to talk to you. All right, you got it. That's Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. You know, as the Cubs are playing the Cleveland Indians, and the White Sox just played the Cleveland Indians, you're reminded that that's the other one. And right now their logo is a C. It's a giant C. I don't think they'll be the Indians in a couple of years. I think they'll be the Cleveland Spiders. And that would be pretty cool. Let's talk NHL. Blackhawks and the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Are the Golden Knights what the Blackhawks used to be? And how is the bubble working? By the way, there was a 5 overtime game yesterday as well. From NHL.com, it's Kevin Weeks. That is coming up next, midday, midway at 10:40 or so. And then Len Casper, top of the hour. It's Matt Spiegel in for Bernstein right here on 670 The Score. This segment is brought to you by Burlington Stores. Have you been to a Burlington lately? They have unbelievable deals on amazing brands and styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices. No coupons or sales, just fabulous values every single day. Whether it's back to school, work, or just back, you'll love Burlington.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.